Hi, I'm John Elias.
And Jackson from Montreal, Canada.
You're listening to the IVND podcast.
Go Cubs, go!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVNB podcast. It's our first official episode of the off season. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
We record these podcasts through Blab, and that allows us to broadcast them live, and you're able to watch through the Blab iOS app, and you can watch at blab.im if you don't have an iOS device. Or you can go to ivmb.com/live and you can watch it there. There's always there's a chat. It's always quite active and entertaining. So we will be recording on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Every Sunday night in the off season. And I think this is going to be a fun off season for Cubs fans. It's already started with the Arizona Fall League, and tonight we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the press conference that Theo Epstein did right after the end of the season, and we're going to share some important off-season dates just so you'll know when things will be happening. So first off, our last episode was the night that the Cubs were eliminated from the playoffs, the postseason, and we took last Sunday off. I think like most Cubs fans, we were probably experiencing a range of emotions on that elimination night, and I think we have since. So have you guys kind of process things? Where are you at right now?
I'm okay.
I guess that silence kind of sums it up.
Yeah, my medicine was to just turn away from baseball entirely for that time. Obviously, without the Cubs, I don't have a lot. I mean, even with the World Series going, I'm not that interested. So I just took a baseballcation.
Yeah.
And that's help.
So have you, I mean, in your little just vacation from baseball, are you missing it? I mean,
I don't want to say something that's going to get me in trouble, but no, I haven't. I mean, it was such a like emotional final stretch, such a like intense, you know, podcasts and baseball. And I loved every minute of it. Don't get me wrong, but
right.
It being over was like, you know, just kind of like released all that craziness that had happened for the few weeks prior. And so, no, I'm not missing it. I certainly wish the Cubs were playing right now, but I'm not missing the up and down of emotional roller coaster that was the few weeks prior.
Well, I'm a little bit different. I mean, I think that the episode we did right after the loss was pretty good group therapy and sort of gave me some perspective I needed right away. Of course, still very disappointed and sad that it was over, but I do find myself in the days since then wishing Cubs baseball were there for me, because normally, like, I'm, you know, since the Cubs have been so bad and out of it by October, I'm already well on my way to just focusing on college football and hockey and things like that,
right?
But really, like, I haven't found as much joy in either college football or hockey. It just made me realize like how much fun I was having watching baseball and the Cubs. So it's kind of a lingering sadness and longing and deficit, I guess.
Yeah. I'm feeling kind of that same thing. In a way I'm okay. You know, I think I talked about it that night, and I've talked about it a lot since in conversations with other Cubs fans, but I was really just disappointed that the season was over and that I don't get to watch the 2015 Cubs anymore. It was a wild ride. And to be honest, I felt at the end like I was so just emotionally drained when the season was done that, kind of like you said, Kurt, it was almost like a relief when the season ended. And I really think that I would have felt that relief whether the Cubs would have won the World Series, or if they were eliminated in the NLCS. Now, I think I would have had more of a sour taste in my mouth if they were knocked out in the NLDS by the Cardinals. And I don't think that it was, it's just that, I was satisfied with the Cubs beat, you know, just like, that's all I really needed was the Cub for the Cubs to beat the Cardinals. I think I was just emotionally drained. And, I think after they were eliminated, I kind of felt like I could get back to being a normal person, because it was all over. I was able to kind of like, well, I mean, I think I was kind of like able to go back and be like the dad and husband that I'm supposed to be. And,
oh yeah, that whole thing.
Yeah. So I don't know. While I was really disappointed about the season ending, and I was depressed about the way that it ended, I think that my non-baseball and my non-Cubs life has benefited from slowing down.
Yeah, you and me both.
It's kind of like
the house is a little cleaner and a little more laundry's done.
Right. Yeah. I've been able to spend more time with the chickens. I got a lot more chicken time in.
My kids forgot my name most of October.
Right. Yeah. I walk up into the living room and there's my wife with my son. She's like, meet your daddy. You know, it's kind of like Nicolas Cage coming back from prison or something. I have a teddy bear and stuff, and you know, dirty teddy bear.
I'm mad at you. Deadbeat. Yeah. No, it's been good. I think I'm kind of with both of you guys. Like, I'm just sort of, it's nice to be back to normal life. I think once I get back into the routine of normal life, then I'm going to miss it. But
right. Well, and it was so much fun. You know, it really was fun. I had a blast, but I think it's from us not podcasting. You know, the Cubs not going to the playoffs in the first 6 years that we did this podcast, and then this season it kind of like caught us off guard. I think, I mean, towards the end of the season we knew it was happening, but I don't think we were like mentally prepared for what podcasting the postseason, what that meant. And maybe we went a little overboard, but I had fun going overboard. That's kind of how I live life.
Oh yeah we didn't. Yeah, it would have been a shame that, you know, if the Cubs were in the World Series, had we not gone overboard, and then we're like, oh, maybe we should have done a little more,
right? Yeah.
Before. So yeah, no, I have no regrets about going all in, but
yeah,
it was fun.
And I really just think, like, again, I keep saying this over and over, but it's just like right now I wish that we still had the 2015 Cubs, because I'm not sure we're ever gonna kind of have this like magic in the bottle again, you know. Like, I just kind of feel like things are going to be different next year, and they should be different, you know. The expectations should be higher and everything. So it's like, I think we just kind of got to witness this like kind of like innocence, or like I don't really know.
They truly seem to play like, do you, in the, you know, like the sports cliche, one game at a time. They truly seemed able to do that. Right. Whereas like the knowledge of where they made it last season is always going to be there, jumping from tree to tree in the background as they go into the 2016 season.
Yeah.
So yeah, certainly they're not, there's no more under the radar stuff happening from this point forward. So now they went from being like the young team who's outperforming expectations to now expectations are pretty high.
Yeah.
And they haven't even got through the off season with whatever might happen. So I'm a little sad actually to see that part go too, where it was sort of like, you know, playing with house money. They're young. Well, maybe they win 85 games and then all of a sudden they go nuts. And so that I think will change for us this off season, where we're going to go into this next season thinking this is going to be a really good team. They're going to improve. And so expectations are super high. And that will definitely change how you react to a team who, you know, how they perform next season. So
all kinds
that'll of be interesting.
All kinds of dormant armchair managers dusting off their Cubs caps.
Right.
And, you know, being fully engaged next season too. Yep. So there's going to be just ridiculous fan expectations, and so it's going to be different. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah.
But definitely. I think we need some of that. I mean, Cubs need season after season of high expectations. So I'm ready for it. It's just going to be different.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of like, I don't know. I've just, I think part of my, I mean, Andy, you mentioned that that last episode we did, the night that they were eliminated, was kind of like a group therapy thing. And it seems like every conversation I have with other Cubs fans since then has kind of been a continuation of that therapy. I got to hang out with Danny Rocket from the Sun Ranto podcast this week. I was up in Chicago for work, and we went out on the town a few nights, and it was a good time. But it was nice to talk with someone else that's like perhaps a bit obsessive in his love of the Cubs, and just kind of talk through things and get at somebody, you know, get a different perspective from someone else. And it was like a little therapy session over deep dish and beer.
Yeah. And he's so unflappably positive and optimistic too. It's like that night he came on after we had done that, you know,
roast
game when they got eliminated. It was just like, he's just so optimistic in a not blind optimism, but a you know, thoughtful optimism.
Right.
It's kind of nice to hear. He helped when he came on for me a little bit, because I was kind of eh.
Yeah. Well, okay, so let's get into stuff here. The day after the season ended for the Cubs, Theo Epstein held a press conference, quite a lengthy one, in fact, and he said that he would talk about things as long as there was questions. So, Andy, take us through this press conference and tell us about the things that he talked about.
Yeah, he came out of the gate saying the sentence that everybody wanted to hear, which, and he said it in kind of a creative way. He said the topic sentence is, we would like to add more quality pitching. So the first paragraph was a lengthy paragraph starting with that topic sentence. And he reiterated that their plan has been to build a foundation of young position players and then over time add impact pitching. So it seems like last year's signing of John Lester was sort of,
it's the beginning off season, of Andy. That over. You can make those mistakes right, in the right. offseason.
So that was the first, you know, step in the overtime at impact pitching mantra, I guess. So he did say that the team, or I guess he emphasized that the team did pitch pretty well. They had the third best team ERA, but he emphasized that more depth was needed. So,
well, they also had, you know, Arrieta's ridiculously low ERA, right. Sort of skewing that average.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. And so on the topic of Jake, since you brought it up, Kurt, Theo said that they would be foolish to not want to see about extending Jake. And then he said, well, at the very least, we'll have two more seasons of him as a Cub. So, of course, it's going to be a challenge to extend Jake, as his agent is our buddy Scott Boras.
So how do you guys feel about that? Do you like the idea of locking Arrieta up?
Yeah, I do.
I do like it, but it seems like it could handcuff them and adding other potentially helpful players because he's going to be really expensive. But you were about to say something, Kurt. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I don't think there's any discounts coming on Arrieta, but let's say he has a couple more years like that, then you just priced yourself out of the market to even consider it. As when he's a full-blown free agent, there's no way you can afford that. And I think now, yeah, you're going to pay for it, but
don't you kind of feel like he's not there? I mean, realistically, he's not going to be able to continue what he was in the second half of the season. I mean, he could be really good, but he's not going to be that good. And so in a way, I kind of feel like extending him right now is somewhat unnecessary, because they already have him locked up for 2 years. And then at the same time, it's like you're buying high.
To me, you're buying high, but you're not buying you're buying a little on the upside, but not at the highest point. Cause, and that's really how these contracts go, is
but it could be the highest point.
You're hedging against potential, and, you know, like Lester's being paid more than his actual player value just because of market conditions. And so, yeah, some of that's going to happen. But to me, I don't know. I like doing it, because assuming you're going to get some slight discount, which isn't going to be huge, it's still going to be a lot of money.
So, yeah. And I think where I'm at is I just kind of let it ride for a while. I don't know. I just think that if you look at the players that this front office has locked up, Rizzo and Castro, they did it at the right times and they got good deals. And they're not going to be able to get those kind of deals all of the time. But I just feel like when you have him for two more years, now might just be a little bit early.
But it's just, boy, it's just tough because to me, if like you don't sign him, and you're sort of like placing a bet on him not being as good as he was, you know, I sort of feel like signing him now is you saying, yep, you're going to be this good. And I think that would help with confidence. Not that the guys need money to build the confidence. But and at the flip side of it, though, I don't actually expect it to happen this offseason because Boris is, I think, dead set against it not happening.
Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of think they should hold off. And I mean, if you want to instill a little bit of confidence in him, or not that he needs confidence that he's a good pitcher, but maybe just in that, like, you are investing in, you know, the Cubs are investing in him, or they would like to kind of reward him for what he's done. You know, he's arbitration eligible this year, and so there will be an opportunity to give him some money, and that could, how things go in arbitration could impact their likelihood of locking him up down the road and what kind of a deal they might get.
So anyway, along with Arrieta, which is a huge talking point already, Theo went on to say that they'd like to add one more quality starting pitcher this winter. And he said that it's tough because they're trying to balance immediate needs with long-term interests. And so he mentioned that they may be forced to take away from that position player group that we talked about, the foundation of young position players, to add pitching, you know, so that could potentially mean Baez, Castro, Soler, players like that could be looked at as parts of trades. But he said that they were going to take a hard look at all free agent starters this year. And he said that's inherently risky to get free agent pitching, but necessary due to the immediate impact it could have on the club. So, of course, there's the big name free agents like Greinke, Price, Cueto, Zimmerman, you know, and then some of the lesser names Ross. Ross from San Diego and Samardzija. I didn't know if Corey would care for her that I called Samardzija a lesser arm.
He is now.
Sure, but, yeah, he is.
But yeah, so they're going to really take a look at all, you know, all their options there. And, you know, along the lines of signing Arrieta to an extension, if they were to go for one of those lesser names, that might make them more able to go all out or go all in for Arrieta. But I think if they were to go after one of those big name free agents, that could stymie their efforts to extend Arrieta just because of the money available with the TV contract still in the future.
Yeah. So what he's kind of saying is that they will probably look at free agency, but also in a trade, they could get somebody that would have maybe 2 or 3 years of control on
right.
Somebody that's a quality pitcher that just might be a little bit, you know, get them a little bit early
right
before they've kind of peaked.
Yeah. And I've seen multiple experts saying that they have no trouble seeing the Cubs going for a free agent signing and then in addition to that trade for an arm.
Right. Yeah. There's some talk in the chat about Samardzija. Stewart says he's glad that Samardzija didn't take the money that Theo and Jed tried to give him. I kind of feel like I kind of trust this front office enough. I don't think that Samardzija's like just the total crap pitcher that he was for the White Sox this year. I almost kind of wonder if he's not a guy that, like, get him more time with Bosio, and he could kind of return to what he was before, which, because the Cubs had no starting pitching, he was the default ace of the squad. But I wouldn't at all mind having Samardzija as like a number three or number four. I think, you know, he doesn't have a ton of innings on his arm. And I think that, I think they could use him. That said, I don't think he's coming back to the Cubs. But
no, I don't think so either. But had he signed with the deal they gave him, I think that was a fair deal. I think he just thought he was like top tier free agent money.
Right.
And I think they gave him a good deal and he turned it down. So.
And it might be one of those things where, I mean, he may have lost so much value this year that he's just going to have to take a short deal with somebody where he can kind of reestablish himself and hope to get something a little more long term a couple years from now.
I heard the Yankees like him, so they'll probably overpay for him.
Well, you mean
they'll all be happy.
Yeah, but I mean, he might have to take like a 3-year deal or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you guys have anything else you want to say about pitching?
I don't. It's going to, I mean, I think that is going to be what we and all other Cubs fans pay attention to most this offseason. I think everybody's going to want them to go out and get Price and go out and get Greinke and go out and get.
Sign all of them.
Yeah, right. And so but I think there will be that pressure there. But let's not forget that in the last offseason, they said that their goal was to sign two, you know, top, you know, front end of the rotation arms in the next 2 years. And they got one last year. And I think chances are they're going to go after one this year. And right now, I think the Cubs have a pretty easy sell. I think just about any free agent would probably like the opportunity to play for the Cubs. So I think their likelihood of getting who they go after, I think that is pretty high.
Yeah, and maybe this is a conversation for another episode, but like, it's such a strong top tier free agent pitching class. I wonder if that'll bring down the market slightly. Like, you don't have to buy the first one that comes available because you've got three or four others right behind them that are number ones.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that plays out.
Right.
That's a good point. Theo brought up and you know some of the other areas of need. And one of those would be center fielder because Dexter Fowler was, of course, on a 1-year deal. And Theo did say that they would reach out to Dexter Fowler. But according to some media sources, and, you know, Jesse Rogers was the one I saw that said that Fowler could command $15 to $17 million a season on a multi-year deal. And so I do think that Fowler enjoyed his time a lot with the Cubs. And I wouldn't be totally shocked to see him coming back, but at the same time, I have a hard time seeing it because of just how much money he could stand to make by exploring his options elsewhere.
Yeah, 15 to 17, that's a lot of money for that guy.
Right.
I mean, I liked him too, but
for a multi-year. And
yeah.
We'll get into we'll get into some of that later, but go ahead, Andy. I don't want to derail it, but how are you? I mean, just while you're on the topic of Dexter Fowler, I guess, in previous seasons, we haven't paid a lot of attention to trade rumors. I mean, if we're looking at Dexter Fowler and we're looking at who, you know, the pitchers that the Cubs might go after, I just don't get caught up in rumors because they just go all over the place. And, it just feels like if you take too much stock into all the rumors, you're just going to get worn down by it. And so I just kind of wait until it happens and then think about it. Do you guys think that that's the kind of the approach that you'll take this year? Or are you more interested in it this year than in previous years? Just because we know that what kind of an impact it could have. We know that where the weaknesses are on this team. And so it's pretty easy to see how like upgrades could impact the team immediately.
I don't know. I'm kind of a sit and wait kind of person too, like you said, just because I don't think there's any point in trying for us to try to be sort of the front edge of it, of all the rumors. And so, you know, we get it from the others and I get excited or whatever about certain rumors, but I'm not too crazy about the whole rumor scene.
I'm a little bit different than you guys, I think, to a certain extent. I actually do kind of keep track of them and I enjoy following them. That being said, like, I don't live and die or waste too much brain power or burn too many calories thinking about this stuff, but I still pay attention to it, you know, and I think I'll be about the same level. I'll have about the same level of engagement this off season, maybe a little bit more, just because I am pretty curious to see what they do with the pitching.
Yeah, I think I might pay a little bit more attention than I have in previous seasons on off seasons. But on the other hand, one of the reasons that I don't get fully invested in all of the rumors and everything is because I don't really want to get my hopes up for particular players and then feel like, oh, well, they didn't get that player, and so they failed on that one. They missed on that one. You know, when you go back and look at, like, Tanaka and players like that, like, there were so many people that when the Cubs didn't get Tanaka and the Yankees got him, you know, they're just totally disappointed that the Cubs weren't able to, like, you know, like, really go blow for blow with the Yankees when it came to how much they were willing to spend. But,
and that's exactly why Theo said that exploring free agent pitching is inherently risky. I mean, and even just look at Lester's results this season. I mean, it's not like he totally laid an egg or anything, but it's just it's tough to predict, you know, when you're going after these guys that are going to make a ton of money, if they're even going to live up to that money or anywhere close to it.
Right.
Some other talking points for Theo in this conference. Kyle Schwarber came up, of course, and people are wondering, oh, well, is he going to be a catcher? Is he going to be an outfielder? And the answer, at least for the short term, is that he's still going to get reps at both. Although Theo did say, and I quote, lots of at-bats in the outfield and some time behind the plate. Like, he seemed to mention that the time behind the plate would be diminished a little bit, but he didn't come out and say that explicitly. So that's a question. I mean, and he mentioned that one of the big areas of improvement for the team was outfield defense, and that starts with Kyle Schwarber and Jorge Soler if he's going to be there. So Kyle's going to have to get a lot of at-bats as an outfielder to improve that defense.
Yeah, and I really feel that his defense, I think he was shaky all season. Anytime there was like a pop fly and it was a little bit breezy at Wrigley, I was kind of like on the edge of my seat, and everything was kind of like an adventure out there with him. But he made decent plays. I mean, he didn't look terrible. I think what it was in that series, especially, you know, towards the end of the series with the Mets, is I think he just lost all of his confidence out there. And I think that he actually looked worse in the outfield than he really is. And so I don't feel like the Cubs are, you know, at a huge disadvantage by having him in left field. I think they spent so much time working with him at the catcher position over the last couple off seasons, or really since he was drafted, and then just kind of threw him in left field. And so I think this off season, I think we'll actually see a pretty good improvement for him in the outfield, because I think they'll be working on a lot of things and probably learning how to take better angles and how to, you know, just all that stuff that goes along with being an outfielder. So I expect to see him improve in left field and become adequate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not worried about it. That's for sure.
But I
saw a couple of people suggesting trading Montero to give Schwarber a chance to develop under the tutelage of David Ross. And Epstein did express some disappointment over Montero's second half, but I have a hard time seeing that. I don't know.
Well, I think if you want him to train with David Ross, then you just hire David Ross as a catching coach.
Pay him one tenth the amount of money,
right? After he, you know, after next season,
yeah, I'd agree. I think Montero's value is bigger than his, you know, bat was bad in the second half. So
I mean, a couple other areas of improvement that Theo noted was controlling the opponent's running game, and then also situational hitting. As the Cubs had the most strikeouts in the league, and then also had trouble driving runners in with fewer than two outs.
Yeah, and I think a lot of things got exposed. You know, I think the Cubs' inability to control the opponent's running game was exposed in the playoffs, and I think this front office was aware of those weaknesses, and I think whether those things were taken advantage of in the postseason or not, those were things that they're going to work on. And I think it just almost seemed like the Cubs relied too heavily on the catchers to control the running game. We saw a lot of like snap throws to first and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of feel like they'll probably just work with all of the pitchers on that type of stuff.
Basically what he said is like, and come spring training, like these are some of the areas that they're really, really going to work on. So
yeah. And those are things that they probably didn't work. I mean, I think it was kind of year one last season with Joe Maddon. And I would imagine some of those like kind of more like fine details like that maybe didn't get worked on quite as much. It was more about just kind of building the team chemistry and just, you know, trying to develop I mean, Andy, like when you and I were at spring training, we were shocked at like how long they were working on defensive bunting drills, just over and over for like, it felt like hours. And I think they were just kind of working on some of that basic stuff. And I think we might see them, kind of improving in those secondary things, going forward.
Sure. Just a couple other minor points. In a shocking turn of events, I don't know if you guys saw this coming, but the entire coaching staff was invited back for next season.
They're terrible.
Yeah.
They should all be fired.
Terrible. Epstein also had some praise for the 2015 Cubs. He called them the most together, connected, selfless, team-first organization I've seen in a long time. And if that doesn't sound like a recipe for success, given their talent as well, I don't know what is.
Yeah, and those are the things that kind of like somewhat concern me about the team moving forward. And I think that they've really done a lot to bring in high-quality guys, and guys that I think will continue to be like that. But this was such an amazing 2015 team, you know, and it's like, I hope that chemistry continues, even after, I don't know, some of the main characters, you know, that you point to as in like being parts of that, like, you know, like say a Jason Mott and, I don't know, just I'm trying to think of some of those peripheral players that were kind of always in the picture that probably did a lot to
Oh, what's Rally Bucket guy's name?
Herrera.
Yeah. Players like him.
Right. Yeah. Just some of those guys, but I don't know. It was like, I think as Cubs fans, I cannot think of you know, a team that I don't know, matched those adjectives that he used.
No, I mean, that's high praise. And I think it's all true. I mean, it's not like he's just like blowing smoke up their collective butts. We saw it we saw it all throughout the season. It's hard to deny that that's a true statement. One last little point from the conference is Theo's own contract extension talks came up, but he deflected it. And just emphasized finishing what he and the front office have started with this team. So it seems like, I don't think he's just paying lip service to the fact that, okay, we're building something here. Right. I think he truly does see this as a challenge that he wants to see through to the end. So I fully expect, you know, him to sign an extension with the Cubs. I think that's a moot point.
Yeah. I can't see them like, I mean, this is about to like all come to fruition, you know, like everything's going to come together and all of these, look at how much work this front office has put in when it comes to scouting. And I think they want to see and be a part of, you know, just what the all the ingredients that they've put into this mixing bowl. You know what I mean? Like, why would you mix all those ingredients and then not be there to put it in the oven? You know,
you just leave it as batter. Yeah. You don't even bake it. Yeah. I think that guys like that are motivated by winning. Yeah. They make a lot of money, but I really do think it's like they want to do it and they want to win and prove that they're the best at it. And so like, there's no way you walk away from it.
Well, and if you're Theo, you snap the Red Sox streak. You know, and now you've like really set the Cubs up to have a good chance to snap their streak. Why would you not want to be a part of it? And I mean, That's not to say he's not going to try to like push for some, you know, a better contract or more money, mm-hmm. things like that. But I just, I have a hard time seeing them, him or probably Jed Hoyer and some of the others walk away from
what does Theo make now? Like $5 million?
Yeah, I don't remember.
$4 million, $5 million.
Like, I'll tell you, but
whatever it is, can you imagine like them being like, you know, like let's say he's like, you know what, I need $7 million. And they're like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're going to pay Dexter $15 million. but $7 million for you? I just can't do it.
Theo's on a 5-year, $18.5 million contract. So
it's like, I mean, it's pennies compared to the players.
Yeah.
In the impact that this front office has clearly had on the team on the field. I know they don't play the games, but
right.
He's not even making Joe Maddon money.
Yeah.
I mean, if that gives it some perspective, he's making less money than Madden, which I mean makes sense, but it's just Madden's making $25 million over 5 years.
I don't know what Theo's wins above replacement is, though, to be honest.
It's as far as GMs or whatever he is, presidents go.
How about what's his wins above Jim Hendry? That should be his. That should be the GM.
Although
donuts below Jim Hendry.
Plus I think too that like if you kind of see this like what the Cubs are right now is being like kind of what he's developed and they're like his kids. I have a hard time seeing like in a way I think you would think, okay, I'll know that like the way that I run things, we can get more out of these kids than someone else that comes in and tries to do it. And so I just think there's so much that would, I would be absolutely shocked if that contract was not extended. So anything else you wanted to touch on with that press conference, Andy?
I think that's pretty much it.
And that's really, I mean, things are pretty quiet. I think it's kind of an unspoken thing in baseball. We have seen some moves, actually more moves than usual during the World Series, but things typically stay pretty quiet during the World Series and until everything ends. So really, there hasn't been too much else coming from the Cubs.
One tiny thing I'll mention that I don't think was on our agenda is that. Jacob Turner got claimed off of waivers by the White Sox.
Right.
So that story has come to a close.
Yeah.
He's now their reclamation project.
Yeah. Yeah. But there is, while there's not much news coming from Chicago, there are, you know, there's, the Arizona Fall League is going on. And usually in October, we spend a lot of time talking about the Arizona Fall League. This season, obviously, we had more important things to talk about. But this rebuild and the emphasis on prospects and the farm system, it's not complete. And so the Cubs have several young prospects playing for the Mesa Solar Sox. So, Kurt, how are the prospects doing down there this year?
It's early. But there's a couple of bright spots. I have to point out too that just looking up Arizona Fall League stats, that was the worst part. When you earlier you asked about how you doing, I was okay until I had to go look up Arizona Fall League stats, and then I sort of got a little bit nauseous because that's normally what we would have been doing already for quite some time. So I guess I can be thankful for that.
It was kind of like flashbacks. It was like flashbacks to 2012.
Yeah, where that was like we're watching it online and trying to find a stream of it or whatever. But to give you the rundown, the Cubs have quite a few players out there. Pitchers is Corey Black, David Garner, Pierce Johnson, Rob Zestrinsny. I don't know how to say that correctly.
You said it right. Yeah, Zestrinsny.
And then catchers, they have two catchers, Cale Brockmeyer and Wilson Contreras. They have one infielder, which is it Jamer? Does he say Jamer? Do people say Jamer?
Jamer, yep.
Yeah, it's not like Heimer.
No, it's Jamer.
And then outfielder Mark Zagunas. Again, it's early. I mean, the high end of at bats is like in the 40 range, which you know is a fair number. And then starting pitchers have only got maybe 3-4 starts, and relief pitchers have pitched, you know, six or seven innings. So the reliever is really nothing to talk about there. Pierce Johnson started four games and he's 0-1 with a 6 ERA. So again, nothing super exciting there. Zastrzyni has a similar line with three starts, 0-1 and a 6.43 ERA. On the offensive side, Contreras has been hitting the ball really well out there. And so he finished the year, or he was at Tennessee all year last year.
Right.
And he's a kind of top 10 prospect. So one to watch for, and he's hitting 342 in 38 bats and has three home runs. So it's nice to see him continue what he had a pretty good year in Tennessee. And so he's, you know, kept that going out there.
Well, and he's gotten, just to stick with Wilson Contreras for a second, he's really gotten a lot of, attention lately because of how well he played in the for Tennessee this year and then in the Arizona Fall League. And I was kind of looking back at his stats there in Double A. So he played in 126 games. He had a slash line of 333, 413, 478. He had 11% walk rate and a 12% strikeout rate, which is really good. And it sounds like the Cubs are, I mean, he's somebody that I can't remember exactly where he was in the last prospect rankings. Did you say he was in the top 10, Kurt?
Yeah, I want to say, well, I guess I was looking at the MLB one and he was put at number 10.
Yeah, but I think he's going to kind of skyrocket on a lot of the lists this year. Since we were talking about Schwarber earlier, it sounds like the Cubs are really high on him behind the plate. There's a lot of praise for him from the folks that are watching the Arizona Fall League, like Keith Law. He's commented on him recently. He's not a bulky catcher, so he doesn't have you said three home runs in the Arizona Fall League. I think he had eight in those 133 or 126 games in Tennessee. So he's not bulky. He doesn't look like your typical catcher from what I've seen. And so it's possible if he adds some weight, then his power could go up. And I think we've just been kind of distracted by the huge name prospects. And I think that this next wave of prospects could include some names that were somewhat under the radar, and like Contreras. And I think, you know, when you have like Addison Russell and Chris Bryant and, you know, Kyle Schwarber, and you have those names, it's easy for names like Wilson Contreras to kind of like fly under the radar. So I think it's going to be, I think these next couple of years, we could see some like kind of unexpected surprises from the Cubs system. And I think Contreras is somebody to keep an eye on, especially, I mean, he'll be in Iowa to start the 2016 season. He'll be on the 40-man roster here soon, so the Cubs don't lose him in the Rule 5 draft. So, if let's say there's some injuries or something in 2016, I think it's pretty likely to see Contreras with the Cubs next season.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, you know, instead of what are we going to do with all these shortstops, what are we going to do with all these catchers
right.
Next year? So, again, not a bad problem to have. And then Zagunas is the last on the list. Only has 24 at-bats and is hitting .208 with a home run, so not a ton. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped Candelario. He's also has a high average at .350. In 40 at bats and three home runs. Another guy who ended last year with Tennessee. So we're seeing some guys who are not low level guys. I mean, they're putting them out in Arizona to get more at bats and see more pitches. And so it seems like those guys are responding well to the extended season.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like there's always like one Arizona Fall League game on the MLB network. And I can't remember when that is. I can't remember if it's like their all-star game. It must be their all-star game. Or
it's funny that they have an all-star game.
I know. I think they do. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's like their championship game or something like that. But it seems like, I don't know, that's something to keep an eye on. Because I remember a couple of years ago, I was like, it was so amazing. And I'm trying to think of like what Cubs players would have been playing that year. I can't remember, but anyway, that's something to look for, because usually they show at least one game on the MLB Network. Anything else about the Arizona Fall League, Kurt?
No, I'm done talking.
Okay, all right. So don't forget, if you shop on Amazon.com, if you go to ivmv.com and click on the Amazon link on the side of the of our page, it gives us a kickback for referring you. It doesn't cost you anything extra. Helps us out a lot. I know, you know, a lot of people do their Christmas shopping on Amazon. And if you work for someone, and you know, somebody in like purchasing or whatever, however your business works, and they purchase things through Amazon, just let them know about that. Maybe just ask them to go through the website, because it really does help us. And again, it doesn't cost the purchaser of items anything extra. So obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you know that Major League Baseball doesn't stop in the off season. We're kind of talking about some things, the obviously free agency and all that kind of stuff. Rule 5, we briefly talked about that, I think, or we hinted at it. And so, you know, if it wasn't for those things, we wouldn't be doing this podcast year round. So there's a lot to talk about. And just to let you know, some of the things on the MLB offseason calendar, we're going to run through some of it right now. Obviously, lots of chatter about free agency and who the Cubs might be looking at this offseason. The free agency period begins 5 days after the World Series ends. And then 12 days after the World Series ends, that's when qualifying offer decisions need to be made. So when the free agency period begins, teams need to decide which of their free agents they will be extending qualifying offers. And that is a one-year $15.8 million deal this year. That changes every year. So this year, it's always 1 year, I believe, as far as I know. Maybe somewhere along the line it was something different, but it's a $15.8 million this year. So of the Cubs free agents, which there aren't that many, it's probably something to watch with Dexter Fowler. If the Cubs extend a qualifying offer to Fowler and he goes elsewhere, signs with someone else, then the Cubs will receive a compensatory draft pick in 2016 from the team that he signs with. And so Fowler made what, $9 million, I think, last year. I believe that's what he made. So if he made $9 million, then you might think
9.5.
Okay, nine and a half. So you might think that $15 million is a no brainer for him, but the qualifying offer is just a 1 year deal, and Fowler might be more interested in a 3 year deal, even if it's worth less per year than 15, because it's more of a guarantee. So he might say you take 3 years, $25 million over 1 year, $15 million. And I just pulled 3 years, $25 million out of thin air. But you know what I mean?
right. Ernest P. Worrell.
I meant to say, you know what I mean, but for some reason I just shortened it. Know what I mean?
Know what I mean?
Now I want to watch Ernest Goes to Jail. So November 9th through 12th, the general managers will be meeting in Florida, and there's not typically a ton of action at those meetings. It's probably the time when GMs are just kind of sharing what they might be interested in and what they're looking for in the off season. So that's what happens then. On November 20th, the 40-man rosters are filed, and this is when some players like Wilson Contreras are placed on the 40-man, so the Cubs don't lose them in the Rule 5 draft, which I believe the Rule 5 draft is in December. And if you're interested in the 40-man and the Rule 5 draft, you can go to thecubreporter.com. There's a full list that they have over there. It's a good comprehensive list. And I guess the notable names on the list that Cubs prospects that would be Rule 5 eligible are Jamer Candelario, Dan Vogelbach, Corey Black, Pierce Johnson, again, Wilson Contreras. And we'll talk more about the Rule 5 draft here in a month or so, and we'll get into more of how that works. December 2nd, that's the non-tender deadline, and that's when teams need to decide which arbitration eligible players they will be extending contracts to for next season. If the Cubs choose not to offer a contract, then that player becomes a free agent. And I don't really see anyone that they wouldn't offer a contract to. So the arbitration eligible players this year are Grimm, Rondon, Coughlin, Strope, Arrieta, and Travis Wood. And then in the middle of January, that's when the teams and players try to negotiate and come to an agreement as far as salary goes for next year. And I suppose the one to really watch in that would be Jake Arrieta, as we mentioned before. Arbitration stuff is kind of a sticky situation, and we'll talk more about that when the time comes. The winter meetings are December 7th through 10th in Nashville, and some teams go hog wild at these meetings, and some don't, you know, and the rumors are really just all over the place. So it kind of seems like that's one of those things where, like, it wasn't last year when the Cubs really didn't do anything at the winter meetings and people were kind of acting like it was a disappointment. But I don't know. I wouldn't really read into it at all if the Cubs don't make a big splash at the winter meetings. It seems like didn't the White Sox signed a bunch of players or traded last year at the winter meetings. But anyways, that's December 7th through 10th. And that's basically it until February when pitchers and catchers report. So basically. So that's the off season.
Looking forward to February.
Oh yeah, me too. I want to get spring training figured out. I got spring training on the mind.
Well, you got a little while to figure it out.
Yeah. Yep. No scary stats in the off season. Kurt, do you foresee yourself having any scary stats?
It seems unlikely.
Yeah. Maybe when we do our like season review, because if you've listened to our podcast the last couple of years, you'll know that at the beginning of the season, we make predictions at the beginning of the season. And then we have Michael come on and Michael does all of our dirty work in listening to that episode and then figuring out, what the actual numbers were and everything. And Michael, I'll help you this year. You really don't need to do that. And then he comes on with us and we just kind of recap the season and look for that here probably in the next couple of weeks. We'll be doing that.
I haven't told you guys this yet, but I've actually been thinking about the relevance of scary stat for forever. Like it sort of feels like a relic that we could possibly get rid of and maybe think of something else going forward. It just sort of feels like a negative relic of the past that got us through some bad times.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And now maybe we can consider something similar. We're just off the cuff on the right, live, but something like, players to watch for the week or something like that, like who was hot that week or who was not. Not that that's original, but
yeah, I don't
we'll
know.
Think about
I,
it.
I like
we'll
something get back that, to you. I like something that involves a little bit more digging, because you always came up with. I mean, you frequently came up with stuff that kind of surprised me or stuff I
maybe
hadn't
it's
heard,
the same, so. And we just rename it so it's not. It doesn't have a negative tone to it.
Yeah,
that was my concern. That was my concern.
Significant stat. Yes.
But okay, well we have what four or five months to. To think about that and come up with something.
We'll discuss it the week before the season.
Exactly.
Sir, I got a surreptitious stat.
I like
it. I don't even know what that means.
All right. So internet muscle flexes. I actually, I had not looked at any internet muscle flexes in the last like 6 weeks. And tonight I decided to sit down, fire up the old Cubs Instagram and see what I could find. And you guys said that you didn't find anything, right?
No.
Okay. So this, I don't even remember what the picture was, but it was the Instagram post where they were like congratulating Jake Arrieta for being a finalist in the Gold Glove award. And I'll just read three comments. I think I have three here that kind of stood out for me. The first comment here is, why did you lose it for us?
What a bum.
The second one is, can't pitch in the playoffs though.
Nope.
and the last one is, what's his record in ERA and the NLCS? He gave up so many runs in the first inning, we never had a chance.
Oh, people are geniuses. Those are good.
I just, you would not expect like Jake Arrieta to get flexed on. Like, that's so...
Oh, yeah. Throw him under the bus.
Oh, my God.
You wouldn't, but yet you would.
Oh, well, hold on. I wonder, what was that one? It was my favorite in there was, why did you lose it for us? <That's> oh, man.
Forget the complete game wild card performance. That didn't happen.
Right, right. Oh, great stuff. Keep it up in the off season. Social media idiots. That's what's going to help make the off season go by faster for me, I think. So, again, I'd like to thank all of you. I know, and I'm speaking for Andy and Kurt here. We'd like to thank you for spending the 2015 season with us. If you found us during the season, stick with us in the off season. We're dropping down to weekly episodes. We will record and publish them on Sunday evenings. Again, you can watch live at 8 p.m. Central at blab.im or follow us in the Blab app on iOS or go to ivmb.com/live. And I also want to thank everybody for all of the tweets and Facebook messages, and emails, everything throughout the month of October. I'm decided to try to chip away at the email, and I still have 47 left. I counted tonight, so I still have 47 emails to get to. So I'll get to them all. And even though I kind of slipped on responding to email, I really appreciate every single one. And I think the best thing about this podcast is that it's given us a ton more Cub fan friends. For me, anyways, that's the best part of this.
Agreed.
So,
heck yeah.
That does it for this episode, which is brought to you by all 122 of our Patreon supporters. Patreon is like Kickstarter, and your monthly support helps us pay the podcasting bills, and it helps us make everyone's IVMV experience better. And everything that we've earned through Patreon has gone right back into the podcast. And we'd like to thank the Hall of Fame level contributors, Jeremy, Dave, Dizzle, David, Chad, Dave, Adam, Elizabeth, Stephen, Richie, Jose, Dallas, Charles, Stephen, Stewart, Guy, Peter, Jeff, Matthew, Jane, Shane, Michael, John, Craig, Rick, Luke, Artie, Kevin, Tori, Josh, Michael, Barry, Howard, and our associate producers are Matthew Macer, Anthony Hutfless, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Andrew Gross, Tim Marr, Ryan Winkle, Tristan Nichols, and the Quad City's own Jason Nunn. We'd like to thank those of you that jumped on the Patreon campaign here in the last few weeks. Barry from Raynham, Massachusetts, Philip from Louisville, Kentucky, Bill from Aurora, Richie from Elgin, Ryan from Muskogee, Oklahoma. By the way, their gas station has a great slushy machine there. Check it out. Justin from Greenfield, Wisconsin. Justin's a great guy. I watched a few games at Social Media Night with Justin. Jose from Highland, Indiana. Eric from West Bend, Wisconsin. Andrew from Astoria, New York. Howard from Gretna, Nebraska. And Thad from Cordova, Tennessee. If you enjoy this podcast and you would like to help us fund it and keep it improving, or if you just want some IVMV stuff like stickers, posters, and pint glasses, then you can go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMB. So we will be back next Sunday evening to talk about whatever happens with the Cubs in the next week. And until then, go Cubs.